Welcome those that are joining us online. My name is Rob. I am the lead pastor of this church. I wanted to just share a couple things with you before we get into the message this morning. In our church, over the last 2 years almost, maybe a year and a half now, Pastor Ben has been leading a church ministry school. And so in our building every Wednesday, people are like going to Bible college, and they're about to graduate this coming spring, and they will have finished what they call recognition of ministry. It's kind of like the first entry level. You have the 10 core courses, and with recognition of ministry, you could actually go and pastor one of the Pentecostal churches. And then what we do is we kind of keep an eye on you, like, okay, let's watch you for a couple years, get some more schooling, and then we become a licensed minister. Make sure you're okay, we can trust you. And then after that, as you saw that I got just not too long ago, you are an ordained minister after, you know, a lot of years. And so there's a bit of a journey. And so some of our students are actually coming close to their graduation, and they took a course on preaching. And so we want to give them an opportunity, our students, to preach the gospel, to share what they've learned with us. So this person is going to come in just a moment. Some of the things that happen, though, when you speak for the first time, who's ever taken that first job or you did that first thing? And so you're nervous, you're sweating bullets, you're shaking, all these kind of things. You might say, I'm a lot. But how can we support that individual? And so I want to let you know, I brought this box here this morning. This box, I also have a second one at the Welcome Center. Can you please support the person that's about to come and minister the gospel? By, and there's two tables, there's one on this side over here, usually where we have communion, one on that side over there where we usually have communion. It's this little index card. Can you speak a blessing? Don't critique them. Don't say you could have done better. No, and that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for a word of encouragement. They're already going to feel like, you know, critiquing themselves after they get down. And we'll be recording it so they can watch it later. That'll be a lot of fun for them. Who's ever done that in life as part of your, oh my gosh, I did that a lot of times, yeah. So just a blessing over them. It would just be so helpful, I know. And so we are a church that we want to support the things that go on. We want to give people opportunity. This isn't a, you know, I hold the platform 52 weeks of the year. Nobody else will ever. Like, we are just open. We've got guest speakers come through our church, and we've got obviously associate pastors that minister here as well. We've got retired pastors like Len would speak here often. So we want to give space for one of our students this morning. So would you give a warm welcome invitation to Rachel McCullough, who's coming up right now. Yes. What a great way to start the new year off, eh? So you're going to come here. Yeah, I'll give you all kinds of space. I'll get out of the way in just a second. But I just wanted to have fun with you just for a moment. No pressure. Okay, so when I was in the Yukon like 20 years ago, I had a lead pastor, Joel Nettleton, and so he gave me the opportunity, kind of took a bit of a chance in a sense with me, said, here's the microphone, you know, give it on Sunday morning 20 years ago. I'm like, yeah, so nervous. But I had just taken the preaching course like you took, and I know that your mark was good. I actually got 97% on the preaching course. I thought, I'm going to knock this out of the park. No, I was really nervous. I know you got a really good score, too, and I know you're going to do a great job. But I'd just like to just pray for you right now and just, you know, ask God's just his peace and his presence here as we open the scriptures together. Is it okay if I put my hand on your shoulder? Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, so let's just pray together. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the church body, how you continue to grow and equip and minister to so many of us. And Father, this morning, we just honor you because we're going to hear the word being spoken this morning. So thank you for speaking to Rachel. Thank you for giving her a word for us this morning. We want to receive it well. Take away any kind of butterflies or nervousness from her. Help it to be clear. Help her to feel confident that you've called her. This isn't Rachel. The Lord's called her to this, and so thank you for this time and this space, and we trust you with it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. For those of you who I haven't met, I'm Rachel. Like Pastor Rob mentioned, I'm a student here at the church ministry school. I'm married to Jaden. And we have two little ones. Our son, Kyler, is 3, and our daughter, Lillian, just turned 10 months. And we've called TPA home for 4.5 years now, and it is such a privilege to be speaking here this morning. So this morning we're going to explore a psalm, Psalm 13. And the psalms are inspired prayers and songs that give voice to a wide range of human emotions, such as joy, grief, doubt, anger, hope, and they all anchor these emotions in who God is. There's lots of different types of psalms. There's psalms of praise that celebrate who God is, psalms of lament, like the one we're going to read today, which is being in pain or confused, and then there's psalms of thanksgiving, wisdom psalms, messianic psalms. But this morning, we're going to walk with David through Psalm 13. Psalm 13 is pretty short. It's only six verses, but it carries the emotional weight of an entire season of life that many of us here have experienced. Before Psalm 13 ever became scripture, it was somebody's real life prayer. And somebody sat alone, overwhelmed, and asked God, "How long?" So this morning, we're going to step into that prayer. So let's open our Bibles and read it together. If you don't have a Bible, there's some in the seats in front of you. All right, Psalm 13, starting in verse 1. "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, 'I have overcome him,' and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." How long, Lord? That's not a polite prayer. It's not carefully worded. It's the prayer you pray when you've run out of patience and answers. Psalm 13 begins with three simple words that many of us have thought but weren't sure we were allowed to say out loud. How long, Lord? This psalm reminds us that faith doesn't always sound confident. Sometimes it sounds tired. Sometimes it sounds frustrated. Sometimes it sounds like somebody who has been waiting longer than they expected. And yet, this prayer is still in the Bible. It's not edited, not corrected, not silenced. Psalm 13 teaches us that God invites honest prayer, even when it's raw, emotional, and unresolved. And more than that, it shows us how our trust can grow, not after the pain is gone, but right in the middle of it. All right, so this morning we're going to walk through Psalm 13 in three different parts. We're going to look at the complaint, which is when God feels absent, the petition, when faith dares to ask the question, and the praise. So we're going to reread verses 1 to 2. Okay, verse 1. "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" So David doesn't start this psalm with praise. He doesn't open with thanksgiving to God. He opens with a question that we've probably all asked before. How long, Lord? Four times in two verses, David asks, how long? He says, how long will you forget me? How long will you hide your face? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? And how long will my enemy triumph? So this repetition tells us that this isn't just a passing frustration, that David is experiencing prolonged pain. This is waiting that has worn him down. And scripture shows us that David is not alone. Habakkuk 1:2, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen?" Psalm 77:7-9, "Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again?" Lamentations 3:31-33, "For no one is cast off by the Lord forever." So anyone who has ever sat awake at night with a baby or a child knows this feeling. You've checked everything, you've tried everything, and eventually you're not even asking what's wrong anymore. You're just asking, how long is this going to last? So that's not bad parenting. That's just exhaustion. That's tiredness. And this psalm, Psalm 13, tells us that God is not offended by our exhausted prayers. It gives us permission to bring our real selves before God and teaches us that faith isn't acting like everything's fine, but bringing our frustrations and the things that we don't feel like are fine, bringing those into the presence of God. Kind of like when you're on hold with customer service and you're listening to the same music over and over again, and that automated voice comes on, it's like, your call is important to us. But after a while, it starts to feel untrue, right? Minutes turn into an hour, or even more, you're still waiting, still unheard, and your call no longer feels important to anybody. And sometimes that's how we feel when we're waiting for God to answer something. We know the promises, we've prayed the prayers, but the silence stretches on, and we're beginning to wonder, is anybody listening? Is this prayer important? And you love God, you're trying to be faithful, you're still showing up, but God feels quiet. And for some of us, that silence shows up in a hospital room. For others, it's a prodigal child. For some, it's a marriage that's grown distant. And for others, it's years of faithful service with little strength left. And the hardest part isn't always whatever pain we're experiencing from our situation. Sometimes the hardest part is the silence. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? David is very honest. He feels forgotten. He feels unseen. He feels abandoned. But David isn't accusing God of actually forgetting him. He's expressing what it feels like, not what is true. It feels like God has forgotten David. And maybe some of you feel like God's forgotten you. But God's silence is not the same as God's absence. His faithfulness doesn't change regardless of how we feel. Scripture reminds us in Deuteronomy 31, the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 49, 15 and 16, can a mother forget the baby at her breast? I will not forget you. Hebrews 13, 5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Too often, we can think that strong faith means suppressing our hard emotions or that strong believers never question God. But the Psalms actually show us the opposite. I know I've questioned God. I've asked the same question as David, like, how long, Lord? And the Bible tells us that strong believers bring their questions to God, and strong faith brings those emotions directly to him as well. David's pain in this psalm is layered. He has spiritual pain, asking, will you forget me? He has emotional pain, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts? And he has relational or external pain, asking, how long will my enemy triumph over me? And notice where David takes this. He doesn't vent to others first. He doesn't isolate himself. He brings his complaint straight to the Lord. And sometimes the most faithful thing we can do is pray a prayer that sounds a lot like David's, a cry of, God, where are you? I think of Joseph in Genesis. God gave him dreams, clear promises, a purpose for the future, but then came betrayal, slavery, false accusation, prison. For years, heaven seemed silent for Joseph. Yet in Genesis 39, it repeats the same phrase over and over again. But the Lord was with Joseph. God was silent, but he was still present. He was quiet, but he was still active. And when the time was right, the silence broke. So now David's petition in verses 3 and 4. Verse 3, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. So think about a child who wakes up in the middle of the night after a bad dream. They don't just sit in their bed quietly trying to be brave. They usually cry out. They call for their parents. And why? Why is this? That's because they trust that person and that relationship. And David prays like that child. His prayer is urgent, it's emotional, it's honest. Not because he doubts God, but because he believes God hears him. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. David moves from complaint to petition. He doesn't just express pain, he asks God for help. There are three bold requests here. David says, "Look on me," which is a request for God's presence. He says, "Answer me," a request for God's voice, and "give light to my eyes," a request for renewed strength and hope. David doesn't just say, "Oh, I guess this is my life now." He says, "Look at me, answer me, restore me." This is the language of desperation, but also of relationship. David believes God can act, even when he doesn't understand why he hasn't yet. And David doesn't soften his prayer. He doesn't pray vaguely. He's very specific, and honest prayer often is. Even here, David's concern isn't only for himself. He says, "My enemy will say, I have overcome him." David cares about God's name and God's honor. Even in pain, his heart is still oriented towards God. Kind of like when you're in a hospital waiting room, you don't sit there because you enjoy the environment or the very long wait. You sit there because you believe that help exists on the other side of the doors. And lament is kind of like a waiting room prayer. And this teaches us something. It teaches us that lament isn't a lack of faith, but sometimes it's just our faith fighting to survive. Okay, rereading verses 5 and 6. "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." Verse 5 begins with a turning point. "But I trust in your unfailing love." Nothing has changed yet. The problem is still there. The enemy still feels close for David. Praise here is not a victory lap. It's more like planting a flag in the ground during a storm. You may still be getting soaked, the wind may still be strong, but you're declaring, "I'm not letting go of what I know to be true." David doesn't praise because the battle is over. He praises because he knows who God is. David anchors himself not in the understanding, but in God's unfailing love. "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation." The word "but" is the turning point of this psalm. Nothing in David's circumstances has changed, but something in David has changed. He chooses to anchor himself to what he knows about God, God's unfailing love, God's salvation, God's past faithfulness. He doesn't say, "I will trust you once this is all over." He says, "Lord, I trust you now." This isn't denial, but it's David has hope. He ends the psalm with worship. Verse 6 says, "I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." This verse is past tense. "He has been good to me." David remembers the goodness and the faithfulness of God. He remembers what God has already done and lets that memory fuel his present trust. He worships not because the silence has ended, but because God has already proven himself faithful. This is worship that remembers. Psalm 77:11, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord." 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances." The powerful truth of Psalm 13 is that praise is not the absence of pain. It's the decision to trust God in the middle of it. Think about driving through thick fog at night. You can't see very far ahead, only just a little bit in front of you. But if you stop driving because you can't see the destination, you'll never get home. So you keep driving because you trust that the road is there, even when the visibility is low. And sometimes our faith works the same way. We can't always see far ahead to see what God is doing, but if we stop where we are because we can't see the end, then we'll never make any progress. So we keep going because we trust God to bring us through, even when our visibility of his plan is low. And sometimes it feels confusing. It feels like, oh, you want me to go this way? But we trust God's character enough, so we keep going. And sometimes it's easy to unintentionally treat prayer like a performance and feeling like we have to only bring God our polished thoughts or tidy sentences, or like we have to think about what we're going to pray before we pray it. But Psalm 13 reminds us that God is not intimidated by our mess. He can handle our tears, our frustration, and even our unanswered questions. When David prays, he doesn't censor himself, and God includes this prayer in Scripture. So God invites us to honest prayer. You don't need to clean up your emotions before coming to God because he already knows them. Waiting is not wasted. The how long seasons shape our faith. They deepen our dependence on God, and they refine our trust. Oftentimes, trust is a choice, not a feeling. David doesn't feel rescued yet, but he chooses to trust God anyway. Lament leads us back to God, not away from him. And when we pray honestly, God will meet us there. While prepping for this message, I saw this quote, and it's kind of the same idea as the fog thing, but it said, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. And Psalm 13 reminds us that when life feels dark and God feels silent, we don't just jump ship, but we hold on. And some of us here are living in Psalm 13 right now. You're asking, how long, Lord? How long until healing? How long until provision? How long until reconciliation or breakthrough? To everybody who's sitting here, maybe feeling like you relate a lot to Psalm 13 today, I just want to remind you that when God feels silent, we need to stay anchored in what we already know to be true. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. The same God who spoke before will speak again in his time and his way. Waiting in silence are not wasted time in the kingdom of God. So if you're sitting here today and you're in a season of waiting, God feels silent, your faith feels heavy, but you're still holding on. Hear this. He has not abandoned you. He is still at work. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes God's greatest work happens in the silence. And just as I close here, I just want to remind you that Psalm 13 doesn't promise us quick answers. It promises us something better. It promises that God hears us in the waiting. It promises us that we can bring our questions to God. It promises us that we can bring our exhaustion to God and that we can bring our doubt to him as well. And you can still say, sometimes through tears and through frustration, but I trust in your unfailing love. That is faith, and God honors that. So I'm just going to pray for us this morning. God, we come before you this morning with honest hearts. You see the prayers that have been prayed for years and tears that may have fallen in silence. You see our faith that's holding on, even when answers feel delayed. For those who feel the silence today, Lord, remind them that you are near. When we cannot hear your voice clearly, Lord, help us to trust in your unfailing love. When the waiting maybe feels heavy, give us strength to remain faithful. Your word tells us that you are good, you are faithful, and you do not forget your people. Today we choose to trust you, not because everything has resolved, but because you are worthy. Lord, renew our hope where it has grown weary. Restore our peace where anxiety has taken hold. And help us to worship you, not just when the answers come, but even in our waiting. We place our lives, our families, our futures, and our unanswered prayers in your hands. And we declare today that you are still God, still faithful, and still at work. In Jesus' name, amen.